Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? I got to chat for a little bit, let Pastor find a seat here. Are you all ready to sing this morning? Amen. Well, let's start off with "This is the day that the Lord has made." Well, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and we will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's do that chorus again. Oh, this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. And we will rejoice. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. Day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. And there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Sing it out. Well, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, yes, power in the blood. Come for a cleanse. Calvary's died. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. And what can wash away my sin? But the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood. And for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this I plead, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.
Blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pray with me this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us together. This is the day that you have made. And Father, we choose today, as we've gathered together in this house of worship, we choose to be glad and to rejoice and to celebrate you. Father, we're singing about the power in the blood and the glory of the blood of Jesus. And today on Communion Sunday, we just want you to prepare our hearts, make our hearts ready today to receive and to partake and to be a part of this wonderful experience. Father, this is an opportunity for us to surrender and to yield and to say, Lord, have your way. Do great things in us today. Change our lives. Make us more like you. Fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit afresh. Lord, we just offer our hearts and our lives in worship and in praise and thanksgiving, bringing the glory and the honor to Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy. We give you all the praise today. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless all of you. Well, welcome today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. Sure would be miserable if I'd have come and I was the only one here today. So I'm glad that you've come and you've joined us. And I see you made it through the 4th of July week, right? Starting another new week. Well, I'll tell you, you guys really know how to put the party on Nettles Island. Something every day that happened and went on. And I'm sure many of you were part of that. I'm thankful for America. We need to continue to pray for our country and our land that God would do great and mighty things. We really need a revival. We need a move of God. He's the answer. I know that we're getting ready and we all the debates and everything, and we've got this party and that party, and we've got donkeys and elephants and independents. But I'm here to tell you today that the answer is in Jesus. He's our only hope. He's the only way. And so, you know, we celebrate our country, and I'm thankful, and we ought to be patriotic, and we ought to be supportive of this land. It's the greatest country in the world. Had the greatest blessings of all from God. But for God to continue to bless us, we need to have a nation that's heart repents and comes back to God. But I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad that we could worship. I'm glad that we could join together for communion today. I want to take just a moment to welcome our new friends and our guests today. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. If you're here today, very first time, you've never been to Nettles Island Church before, you're a special guest and a new friend today, and we welcome you, and we just invite you to enjoy the day. Just let the Holy Spirit of God bless you today and minister to your needs. And we just trust that you'll feel refreshed, that you'll be welcome to come back, and you will come back. And at the end of the service, I'll be in the back corner. I'd love to just take a minute to meet with you and introduce myself if we haven't so far, and have a little gift for you today. So when church is over, just come on, meet me in the back corner back there. A couple of things going on today. We're back on our prayer focus is new. It's CareNet. You can read all about that in the announcements. Please pray for CareNet this month when you go to prayer each day. Just remember them in your prayers. And we will be joining together on Wednesday for Coffee with Rob. So I'll be downstairs Wednesday from 9 to 11. You're welcome to come down. Join with me. Just come for a few minutes. Come for the 2 hours, whatever you want. I'll be there for the 2 hours just to fellowship, just to be with you, to pray with you if you have a prayer need, whatever it might be. I'm going to just be there because I love being with you. Cindy said to say hello. Last night she said, tell all my people hello. And I said, who are your people? And she said, all of them. I said, well, you're kind of bossy, huh? They're all yours, huh? And she misses you, and she'll be back on the 16th. But she's really doing a good work with her dad. They're enjoying one another, and she's helping him out immensely there in Memphis, Tennessee. So we'll see her in just another week or so. Amen. Amen. I think that's all that I've got for right now. I will tell you that I just received a message this morning. Susie Vanderklok is up in Tennessee. She went up there to visit family, and she was rushed to the hospital there. She's got some issues going on with her intestines, her stomach area. And so we'll pray for her when we pray later, but keep Susie in your thoughts and prayers today as well. Amen. Steve's going to lead us in some more worship this morning. Let me encourage you today. We're coming to the table in just a little bit. Just open your heart. Let worship be the thing that just softens and molds and makes you ready just to partake today from the table of the Lord. For God's so good. He loves us so much. God bless you as we worship. Amen.
If you're able, while we sing this next song, would you stand with me? As we sing, how deep the Father's love for us. And And how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. Wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulder. I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. Has brought me life. I know that it is finished, and I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. Oh, but I will boast in. I cannot give any.
God this morning. Amen. You may be seated. We are blessed with a special this morning by Al Bolhais. Enjoy as he sings and worship together.
This mic?
Yes.
Coming clean, all the secrets he has kept from her so long, finally known her big mistake, that one regret that haunts her to this day, it just won't fade. So many different stories we thought couldn't be redeemed. It's against our darkest failures we start to see the beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all our scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. What a thought, just a single drop forever wipes away our every stain, and with its power every chain that held us now lies at our feet, and we stand free. The beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all our scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood. Forever changed, I stand amazed by everything it does. The beauty of the blood, the goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved that could never be explained. Heaven's best takes all our scars for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of his love. That's the beauty of the blood, the beauty of the blood.
Amen. Well, that was powerful. Thank you. Man, I almost don't need to say anything more this morning, do I? What a beautiful, beautiful, powerful song. Thank you, Al, for sharing that with us today. We're going to move kind of into communion, and I've got a little devotional that I want to share with you. And I gave it a title this morning. It's called It Matters. It Matters. In the communion service is a time for a couple of things. Number one, it's a time to remember God's love. That beautiful song that Al just sang just relays the love of Christ and the love of God to us and what that power in the blood can do for us. Remembering God and His love, remembering Christ and His sacrifice. And the second thing that the communion service is a time for is to examine ourselves, examine our love for Him. He loves us. How are we doing in our love for Him? In Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, it's the account of Jesus in the upper room with His disciples, and they've just shared the whole Passover meal together, and they're done with dinner. They come to the end, and then it picks up here, and it says that He, meaning Jesus, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in My blood." Communion's a time to remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The bread and the wine that we'll partake of in just a little bit are tangible and physical reminders of Christ's amazing love for us. Every time we eat and we drink, it's a time to remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And just as we depend on food and we depend on drink to survive physically, some of you had breakfast this morning, some of you are going to have it when we get finished with service today, but we eat every day. We drink something every day so that we can survive, so that we can go on and go forth in life. And just as we depend on that, we can only survive and live spiritually through Jesus Christ. That's the truth. Because of what His sacrifice on the cross offers us. And there are four things that are offered. You know them. First of all, we're offered forgiveness of sin. Our past sins, our present sins, the sins we committed this week, and we're coming in and, you know, we're thinking about that and going, "Man, I wish I'd have done a little better this week than I did." And even the sins of our tomorrows, the sins of our futures, the sins that we haven't even contemplated, that aren't even in our minds or thoughts, the things that will happen next week, this coming week, maybe next month or whatever. Forgiveness of sin. We've been given, and peace has been made with God, and the removal of God's wrath upon us. You see, we talk a lot about the love of Jesus, the love of God, and it's true. It's true. But there's another side of God that has to be satisfied, and that's the wrath side of God. God doesn't hate people. God hates sin. God hates what sin does to people and how sin has destroyed His perfect creation, starting with Adam and Eve. And so there's a wrathful side of God, and that wrath has to be appeased. It has to be justified. And thankfully it was on the cross when all of God's wrath was laid upon Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven. The cross offers us unending grace and mercy as we approach with broken and repentant hearts. The cross offers strength for today and bright hope for our tomorrows. The cross offers eternity, living life now, but knowing that life eternal, life everlasting, life that's pure is coming for all of us who know Jesus and who are committed to following and serving Him. And at the same time, communion not only is a time for us to respond to and receive and remember the love of God, the love of Christ, it's a time to examine ourselves. Paul says it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, "Let a man or a woman, let us examine ourselves." You see, and that's what today's about. It should be something that we get comfortable with and do on a daily basis, but definitely on a day when we come to the Lord's table. Paul says that many are eating and drinking in an unworthy manner. And boy, if you know the story of that church and those folks, they were in a bad way, and they were not respecting and honoring the table of the Lord, Holy Communion, at all. And they were just coming in, and the Bible says some of them were getting drunk even before they came to service. Some of them were getting into the wine during service and getting drunk during service, and things they were not getting along. They had relationship issues and all kinds of problems. And Paul says, come on, guys, you've got to examine your heart first and foremost. And if you find something that's not right in there, it's okay. Just deal with it before you come to the table. And so it's a time to examine ourselves, to do a heart check, to see how our walk with God is going. And the question is, are we walking out our faith? Are we living each day in an active and vibrant relationship with Jesus? That's the question. How's your relationship? How's our relationship with Jesus today? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our lives and to sanctify us? That word sanctify just means to set us apart, to make us holy. I can't make myself holy. I want to do good. The good that I want to do, Paul says in Romans 7, I don't do. He says he tries to be good, he wants to be good, but he messes up. And he says, who's going to rescue me from this? And then he thinks about it and he says, thanks be unto God for what Jesus has done for me. It's through Christ. And so, but the question this morning is, are we asking and allowing the Holy Spirit to make me more than what I am today in my tomorrow? Sanctify me, Holy Spirit. Set me apart. Make me pure. Or are we living life our own way and simply trying to suit ourselves with the choices that we make? This morning, the communion table is a transforming experience. But it can simply just be a ritualistic act, a religious duty. There are people everywhere on Sunday mornings like this one that will go to church somewhere, and some churches have communion every Sunday, some monthly, some quarterly, some, just whenever. But there'll be people in church today that will take communion, and it'll be nothing more than a ritualistic act. They won't give it any thought. Everybody else is partaking. They'll just come and receive, or they'll take it as we are today at our seats. So is communion a life transforming experience? It can be. It should be. We want it to be. You know, the dictionary gives a description of communion as this. It says, a close relationship with someone in which feelings and thoughts are exchanged. The close relationship with someone where you share your feelings and you share your thoughts with them. And working through that definition, communion then encompasses what? It encompasses relationship. It encompasses a connection and fellowship. That's what God's longing for with us this morning. A relationship where you and I enjoy being in the presence of someone and spending time with them. It could be your spouse. It could be your best friend. It could be someone that you confide in deeply and closely. But understand this morning that our fellowship and our communion with God must go deeper than any of these earthly relationships and commitments that we have. You see, the Christian faith, it took me a long time to get this, but God set me free when I got it. The Christian faith isn't about making sure we follow all the rules. We cross all the T's, we dot all the I's, and we just get everything perfectly right. We try to memorize not just the Ten Commandments, but all the other things that the Bible talks about. I'm so thankful this morning that when Jesus came on the scene, he came to a scene where they were stuck in all the rules and the regulations. The Ten Commandments and the 600 plus other commandments that the Jews had to follow, the dietary and the cleansing commandments and rules and regulations. And they were in trouble if they missed even one of them. And Jesus comes along and he says to them, when they said, hey, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your strength. And the second one is love your neighbors as yourself. And he said the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these. You see, Jesus said this. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law. The commandments are still good. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not covet. And on they go on down through. Those commandments are still good, and God still desires that we live in accordance with that. But he knows that you and I and ourselves can't do it. That's why Jesus came and he did it. And what did he say? He said, I didn't come to abolish these. I came and I fulfilled them. I completed them so that if you'll choose me, if you'll wrap your arms around my neck and hold on close to me, I'll make sure that I get you home. I'll make sure. Our fellowship and our communion with God has got to go deeper than just the rules and the regulations. I'm here to tell you that religion never saved anybody. There are a lot of religious people in our world today. Not all in the Christian faith. Look at the other faiths. They're religious. Some of them are fanatics. But that religion that they follow, that they serve, religion, never going to save them. True faith is about communing and fellowshipping with God. It's about intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what gets us home to heaven. See, the question is, do we long to be in His presence and desire to hear from Him and share times of fellowship together? Time is something that we all share equally in the same measure of. We all have 24 hours in our day. We all have 7 days in our week. We all have 52 weeks in a year, and on it goes. And as long as we're living, as long as we're breathing, we all share that equally the same. We all share equally in time. And time is a precious commodity that we give to the things that mean something to us, things that we consider most important in our lives. And we give time to our families because they're special to us. We take time to go on holidays because that's important to make memories and have memories. And we have me time in our lives. But how much time do we give to fellowshipping with God every day, spending time in His presence? I hope it's every day. I hope it's not just that we show up on Sunday morning and you know, we sing some worship songs and hear a sermon, have a prayer, and then we go home and we don't think about the Lord. I hope that's not us. You see, the answer to how much time we spend in the presence of the Lord in fellowship with Him reveals how much we treasure and we value Christ. It's our outward expression of our inward love for Him. And you know, we can become so busy filling our lives with things that we believe will add to the value and the satisfaction of our life. But the truth is that we will only know real peace and joy and fully be satisfied in life when the Lord has first place in our hearts, when He sits upon the throne of our heart. I love what the Bible says in Psalm 16 in verse 11. The psalmist writes, "In your presence," talking about the Lord, "in your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." That's true this morning, church. That's so true. That's the desire of God. God wants us to come into fellowship with Him and walk with Him and spend time and be so close to Him every minute of every day that we're just enjoying His joy, the fullness of it, and the pleasures that He has in store for those that will move into that place and spend time with Him. And so this morning, as we examine ourselves, perhaps it's possible that we're feeling a little bit unworthy as we come to the communion table. We're thinking, hey, I'm not there. I've kind of been messing things up, and I'm constantly failing in my walk with God, and I've blown it yet again. But family, I'm here to encourage you this morning. I'm here to lift your spirit this morning. This is the very reason that Christ entered into this world in human skin and why He willingly chose to suffer and to die on the cross for you and for me. Tim Keller, who recently passed away, a pastor and an author from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Tim Keller said this. He said, "The irony of the gospel is that the only way to be worthy of it is to admit that you are completely unworthy of it." Are you getting that? The only way that we can be worthy, the only way that it even works for us, is that when we see the gospel, the message, the cross of Christ. The gospel is the good news. God loved us so much He sent Jesus to die for us so we wouldn't have to die separated from God in our sin and spend eternity away from Him. We could spend eternity with Him. The gospel's the good news. The irony of the gospel is that the only way that we're ever going to be worthy of the gospel is by admitting that we are completely unworthy of it. Al's song this morning, The Beauty of the Blood, it started off with a man that held secrets, and they were coming out to his family, to his wife, and we can only imagine what that might be to a lady that was just so down because she had so many regrets from past decisions that she'd made. That's us. That's you and I this morning, and yet there's the beauty in the blood. Oh, how perfect and how true the cross of Calvary is this morning. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all of our sin and all of our unrighteousness. So let's be encouraged as we come to the table of the Lord this morning to enter into the mercy that God is offering to us. And let's make a fresh surrender of our hearts, and let's allow Him this morning in His grace and love to work inside of us. Let's love Him and run to His embrace in our weakened state, knowing that if we will simply open our hearts to Him afresh, start afresh. His Holy Spirit this morning is waiting to transform us and to mold us and to make us more into His image. Today can be a day of victory and freedom and a fresh start. I started this little thought with It Matters, the title It Matters. It matters that we come to the table today.
It matters why we do this. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus broke bread. He gave it to His disciples. Take and eat. This is my body. He took a cup. Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. It matters how we do this. Let each of us look at our lives. Let us recognize our sin. Let us see the grace of God in the body and blood of Christ, broken for us, poured out for our forgiveness. It matters that we do this. Let us eat the bread. Drink from the cup. Remember the Lord's death in our place on the cross, looking for His return. Amen.
I want you to keep in mind this morning that in His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence. I love that beautiful little chorus. It says, in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the King. He's here today. Where two or three gather together in His name, there He is in their midst. He's with us. He's here this morning in the presence of Jehovah. He's the Almighty God. What do you need today? As we come to the table, do you need Him to do a fresh work in your heart? Maybe there's a sin that's been stalking you and you just want to lay it down, give it up. Do that. Did you come to church this morning with a big heavy burden on your heart? You've been struggling with just feeling like, I'm never going to get through this. I don't know how. It could be a physical need. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's a family relational matter. You're struggling with a spouse or a child or a grandchild, or maybe it's a neighbor issue. Whatever it might be, God's Almighty. He's Almighty. And He is the Prince of Peace today. Oh, it's my prayer that we'll leave this place not the same as we came in, but different. That the Prince of Peace will pour into us today. That we'll go out of here full of the joy of the Lord. Knowing that at His right hand are pleasures for us. That He's got something good planned for us this week. But the best of all the good that He's ever done is right here. It's right here at this table. It's right there with symbolized by what you're holding in your hand this morning, the bread and the cup. This morning, I'm simply asking that you and I, that we take and we put everything else out of our mind and out of our thoughts, and that we simply focus for the next few moments, focus our heart on the fact that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you this morning. He loves you so much that He took your place and He took my place on a hill called Mount Calvary. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before You this morning. We are so thankful that we have this moment. We're so thankful that together as a family we can partake of Holy Communion, the Lord's table, the Last Supper that You shared is an ongoing supper for us. For You said, as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, that we are proclaiming Your death until You return. It's not all just about Your death. You didn't end it there. You said until You return. There was a resurrection 3 days after Your death to prove that there's life everlasting. And then there's the promise that the same Jesus that departed that day from the hills of Jerusalem to that church in the book of Acts, that same Jesus is going to return and bring us home. And so we're thankful today, Lord. We are so grateful for everything that You're doing for us. We ask You to bless this time around the table right now. Lord, bless the bread and bless the cup. Bless our lives as we partake. God, we each individually know what it is we need to lay before You today. So we lay our life, we lay it open, we lay our hearts open with a confidence that You won't cast us away, but that You'll put Your arms around us like that prodigal dad, and You'll pull us in, and You'll begin to celebrate us as we spend time in Your presence today. Bless this time of communion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus took the bread, and you have a little wafer, take your wafer. He broke it. It was a symbol of what was going to happen to Him a few hours later. He would be broken. He would be spit upon. He would be beaten. They'd take and they'd crown Him with thorns that were over 2 inches, and the blood would flow. Then they would take Him out and they would beat Him mercilessly upon His back. The things that I've read about that have said that many people wouldn't even survive beyond the beating that He took. That would have ended their lives. But here He is being broken, just as this bread is broken for us. And then they take a wooden cross. It wasn't 3 pounds. It was heavy. And upon this Savior of ours, whose back is laid wide open, been up all night, abused all night, ridiculed all night, the emotional strain, make Him carry the cross until He can't carry it anymore. And then He follows that cross to the hill. He doesn't fight anybody. He doesn't resist them. They lay the cross down. They take Him. He just lays down and lays out His hands. For He's obeying the will of the Father as His body is broken. His blood is being spilled. They nail Him to the cross. Pick it up. They thud it into the ground. And there for the next 3 hours, He suffers in agony for me. For you. We deserve that. I deserve that. I deserve that. He didn't. Perfect, holy, righteous, imperfect, despicable, sinful. But He did that for me, for you, because He loves us. Isaiah 53 says, by His stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2, verse 24 says, by his stripes we were healed. We are. It's becoming, because it was prophetic in Isaiah. It hadn't happened yet. Peter's looking back to the cross. It's already done. We were healed. If you need healing today, will you just receive it? When you take this bread into your body and when you take this cup into your body, will you just say, Jesus, heal my body. I believe and I trust you today. He died not just to save us from our sins, but to heal us from our brokenness spiritually and physically. There's power in the blood. We sang it this morning. So we take the bread, broken for us, and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as we eat together. And then in our hands we hold the juice, the fruit of the vine, the symbol of what blood that Jesus shed for us. The Bible says, God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That means annihilation of. There's no remission of sin. I could never have hope to make heaven my home unless my Savior shed his blood for me. He did that for us. So we thank him today. We honor him today. We love him today with all that we have to love. Thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you for the symbol that we hold in our hands that reminds us your blood made peace with God for us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's receive it today, and let's receive our forgiveness, our cleansing, our healing, our victory, our joy, the pleasures evermore. Let's receive all that God has for us today as we partake. Let's receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're such a great Savior. We can never thank you enough. We can never praise you enough. We can never lift our voices in song. We can never shout from the rooftops enough to give you glory and honor and thanksgiving and praise. But we give you all that we have today. We give you our heart. We give you our life. We come into communion today asking you to help us to find more time, to spend more time, to fellowship more, to have more intimacy with you as we live. Father, let there be joy in every heart and every life. In the presence of the Lord, there's that fullness. Bring us into your presence on a daily basis. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Chorus with me. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life and brought me from the darkness into life. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white. And thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Brought me from the dark to glorious life. Sing, Jesus paid it all, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson white as snow. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white.
Would you stand with me this morning as we share our benediction? It's been a great day. Boy, the presence of God is just moving in this place. He loves you this morning. Do not forget that. You feel like in your life that you're unworthy. Well, the truth is we all are. But let your mind race back to the prodigal father. That's our God, looking for us to respond, to come into his presence, to wrap his arms around us and pull us in and celebrate us back home. Celebrate our forgiveness with us, our cleansing with us. May this be the best week of the year that you'll experience. Now, I'll say that again next week that it gets better and better, but may this be the best one that you've had so far. God love you and bless you and keep you today. May his face shine upon you. May his grace just be with you. May he encompass you with peace and joy and his fullness of blessing and treasure forevermore. Amen. Father, bless your people today. As we leave this place, go with us. Make every crooked road, every path, make it straight. Make every mountain come down and make every valley rise up, that we walk on, tread on level ground, level pathways, God. Let your people know the blessing, the goodness of God in their lives this week, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you today. Have the best week.